right, welcome to the Free Stretch. Here on JoeBucksFan.com, I am Bobby Fenton, coming to you on this random week in the middle of February, basically. Oh, it is the final week of the Olympics, so we've got that. The Bucks have a new defensive line coach. We've got that. Pitchers and catchers have reported, depending on who you are. If you haven't started a boycott of some kind, we've got that. Touch on all these things today here on the show because, again, as I was telling one of the Joes earlier this week, I love this time of year, even though football season's always my favorite, and I would never take anything over football season. I love having the flexibility to go wherever we want to go, talk about whatever we want to talk about. That's the true meaning of the free stretch. So if you want to get a hold of me, as always, I love hearing from you guys. Email me anytime. I check it frequently, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. It's all spelled normally how you think it would be, just BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Twitter's the same thing, @BobbyGameDay. So we'll start with the Bucks first, because there was some Bucks news this week. And as Joe put it on Twitter a few days ago when it was all going down with Doug Martin and Chris Baker being officially released from the ball club, the Bucks were settling family business over the past few days, Jason Light taking care of some things that we knew were coming, but still official now. And, of course, y'all remember my rant on Chris Baker back during the, I guess it was the Carolina game, right? The one where he jumped offside on a crucial fourth and goal, about to get a stop. Just, you know, space cadet stuff like that that I don't have time for, and the Bucks didn't have time for either. So whatever. No, I have nothing else to say on that. As far as Doug Martin goes, I'll tell you what. Classy move by him to see him go out there, you know, make a statement for the fans and say, hey, I've enjoyed my time here. You know, just did it all the right way. It's what you're supposed to do. It was time to move on. I know a lot of people made jokes and stuff. I saw one on Twitter that said, I wonder if Doug Martin will take his walk back to his car in the parking lot 2.9 yards at a time, that type of thing. And of course, we know about the off-field issues he had and all that stuff. I understand that. But as players go, and really any position as players go in this league, because things never last long, but especially as running backs go, you know, Doug Martin was around here for a while. And Doug Martin was a Buccaneer for a long time. And I think back all the way to when we drafted him, I was still working in actual radio back then on 620 WDAE, and I remember doing shows leading up to that draft. And you know how every single draft, there's always a few players who everybody's talking about the whole time, like, oh, so-and-so, this guy that's... This year, it's Chubb, it's Bradley Chubb is one, Sony Michel's another one for Georgia. And they vary. There's always the one first-round guy everybody wants, but then, oh, I think we can get so-and-so in the second round. I think we can get so-and-so in the third round. There's always a couple of buzz guys. Every franchise has them. And if you work in sports radio or sports media, you're either the one talking about them or hearing other people ask you about them or both every year. And it's actually pretty rare when the team actually drafts one of those guys. Like, for all the talk and stuff like that, think back to all the drafts over the years, how many times we actually drafted that guy. And by that guy, I mean the guy everybody talked about before the draft. It's almost never. It's always somebody you didn't talk about that much. I could click back through the years and give you the buzz guys from each year, and then it ends up being somebody completely out of the discussion, and all of a sudden, you know, you jump on that guy, now he's your guy. And Doug Martin was the rare case. I remember back when he got drafted, we were talking about him. Oh, this guy from Boise State, Doug Martin, he's a perfect fit. He's just what the Bucks need. He was exactly the type of guy you talk about and talk about and talk about, and then you don't actually draft him. But the Bucks did draft him, and people love that. People love when the team takes guys that they were talking about before the draft. It makes everyone feel like an armchair GM. It makes everyone feel good about themselves. And again, Doug Martin, it happened. I remember working there, and let me tell you how they do it in radio, or at least how some stations do it. At 620, you know how there's like the voice guy that you hear during commercials, and it'll be like 620, or 1010, or 1040, or whatever the stations are. That's just the stations here, but there's always the voice guy that says, you're home for sports talk, this is your place, Tampa Bay, you know, the voice guy. So our voice guy at the time, we had like five or six different guys that he would cut a promo for before that. We had it all in the can before the draft, like, Tampa Bay welcomes Doug Martin, Tampa Bay welcomes Mark Barron, Tampa Bay, or whoever it was. I don't remember who all the names were, but all the ones we had didn't get used. And I don't remember who we drafted before. It's fuzzy now, but all the guys we had done it for, like, the guy we drafted wasn't one of the ones. And then as a spoof on the show that next Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was I was on again, I actually played all the different ones we had cut but not used. And just to because I always do a whole thing with the draft every year where I say, listen, folks, it's fun to talk about. We're having a good time with this and everything, but don't get too much into this. Don't put too much stock into it. The odds are we have no idea what the Bucks are going to do. Anything you've read, anything you've seen, anything you've heard, it's all probably either been put out there intentionally by somebody who wants you to believe it, or it's just completely made up. And very rarely, and I said, here, listen, I'll show you. And then I did it. I played all, like, seven cuts of our voice guys saying, Tampa Bay welcomes, you know, Mike Wilkinson from Colorado to Tampa Bay, you know. And it wasn't the guy we drafted. But then Doug Martin was. Like, Doug Martin was that guy. And he came in here, and he was great for a while, but, you know, just what the doctor ordered, all that stuff. And obviously a big, long, winding soap opera of a career here after that. My best memory of the past few years of Doug Martin was probably his t-shirt on Hard Knocks that said, it's a Doug thing you wouldn't understand, and that's about it. But hats off to him. Wherever he goes, I wish him luck. Chris Baker, him too. Chris Baker was a nice guy. I don't mean to dump on him. I just really, really got frustrated by that mental error against Carolina. Never got over that one. But anyway, on the coaching front, the Bucks pick up Brenson Buckner as the defensive line coach. Sounds like a great hire there. I mean, again, everybody's going to have glowing reviews all the time. They're not going to hire people that other people go, oh, this guy? That's not how it works. But it was good to see a lot of players who have played for him on Twitter, you know, within minutes of the Bucks announcing him as the hire, talking about how great a job he did, how much they loved playing for him, how loyal they were to him, and how lucky the Bucks were to have him, how he's bound to be a head coach soon and all this and that. I mean, that's good. That's a good thing. He won his introductory press conference, although those, again, don't mean anything. But you see people taking things guys say during these press conferences and getting excited about it. And Buckner had a quote talking about, we're not going to take the fight to anybody. We are the fight. Yeah. That, and it sounds great. I mean, that's a great quote. Sure. Say that in the post. I mean, anybody could say that. But people were putting that on Twitter and saying, that's right, you see this? How excited are you now? Like, I assume every defensive line coach already tries to do that, right? I mean, it's not like he unearthed something secretive that, oh my gosh, nobody has thought of this before. We got this guy. And guess what? His plan isn't to take the fight to people, it's to be the fight. Oh, well, now we're going to have our first double-digit sack guy in about 87 years, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl and have 14 sack fumbles and win the game 115-10. And all that may happen. And Brenson Buckner sounds like a great hire. So I was happy to hear about that. Now, another thing I wanted to talk about today on the show. Now, I'm going to get away from football here. If you're not a baseball person, I understand that. But I need to say my piece on the Rays because of all that's happened in the past week, everything with the team moving several players, going into what many are calling full-scale, quote-unquote, tank mode, fire sale mode, whatever phrase you want to use for it, that's been the popular phrase to describe what the Rays are doing lately. And let me tell you something right now. I'm really encouraged that this many people care. All the national people, all the people that are fans of other teams around the country, we already know this. They all think we're garbage, okay? They think nobody cares about the Rays. All they see is what they see on TV, rarely, or what, you know, Empty Seats Galore puts out on Twitter or things like that of this crowd or that crowd. And I'm not even saying those things aren't true. Obviously, they are. But they don't know, and I've told people this over and over, over many years, and it kind of applies to the Bucks too, because Bucks attendance hasn't been awesome in the past 5-6 years. But a lot of people care. And working in talk radio, and I do this podcast now, but I used to work in talk radio, the emails I would get, the calls I would get, the people that come up to me and ask me about the Rays and the Bucks all the time, there's a difference between having poor attendance, which we undoubtedly have, and having a disengaged fan base, which we most certainly don't have. People care about the Rays. And the backlash and the uproar in the past week is just more proof of it. They don't go to the games. And there's several reasons for that. We're not going to get into all the attendance stuff on this show today. But people care, and I know that. And this is a good fan base, and I think if you give this fan base a reason, if you mobilize this fan base, if you do things right, which the team has never really done because of its stadium and its location, you know, I think we're seeing a lot more than other people give us credit for. That's why I roll my eyes and scoff, and it happened again this week. All the, oh, just move this AAA team to Montreal already. Har, har, har. It's, first of all, an unoriginal joke. Anybody who makes that joke at this point is really, really lacking in creativity. But second of all, it's not true. I'm not worried about the Rays leaving. I'm not worried about any of that. I am worried in the short term that the fan backlash is going to be, and again, it's totally within your right to do this, but interest in this team, which is already tough in the best of times, is not going to translate to the seats at all this year. And we obviously are used to bad crowds, but there's going to be a lot of single-digit thousands crowds, like 8,000, 9,000. I got a feeling that's on the horizon this season. And then all the whole peanut gallery is going to say what they say again, even though we already know that's what's going to happen. But let me tell you this, all you guys that are complaining, how can the Rays do this to their fans? They're not even trying to field a competitive team. Have you thought, and I'm really asking, it's not a rhetorical question, have you stopped and thought, maybe what if they have a plan and they're actually doing the right thing? Like, has that occurred to anybody? Because some people just see the 6 inches right in front of their face, and they say, oh man, yesterday we had Jake Odorizzi and Corey Dickerson and Steven Souza, and now we don't have them. So now we suck. Have you thought? And just follow me on this here. That maybe, hey, we're not that good anyway, and maybe instead of winning 78 games, we're going to win 72 games now, or maybe 64 games, or whatever it ends up being. And maybe that's okay, because really, who the hell cares? Like, I don't know about you guys. I don't. And again, some people don't think big picture, and that's fine. But I don't care if the Rays win 82 games, or 72 games, or 62 games. I want them to win 102 games, and be in the playoffs, and go to the World Series. That's what you're trying to do. And unless you're in position to do that, you should be getting yourself in position to do that. It's a binary state. You're either in contention or you're not. And if you're not, how good you are really couldn't matter less. I mean, do you honestly care if they go 83 and 79 as opposed to 62 and 100? That's 21 games. That's a big difference. But really, there's no difference because neither one of those records gets you in the playoffs. Wouldn't you rather the team do everything in its power every single day when they wake up in the morning, for the next 2 years if they have to, geared toward getting us to winning 100 games? That's what we want the Rays to do, or it should be. So I'm not saying you have to like it. Nobody likes to see players that are familiar, who are deemed to be pretty good, all shipped out, especially in such fast, rapid succession like this. I know that. It doesn't send a great message in the short term. But again, I mean, why do you care so? Like, do you want them to spin their wheels just to say they did it? And it's not my money, okay? I'm not happy because, oh, that's great. Stu Sternberg saved $5 million now. That's all. I don't care how much money Stu Sternberg saves or doesn't. It's not my money, and he has tons of it. But have you thought that maybe, hey, the Rays have a top 10 farm system right now already, and these trades are helping to continue to bolster that farm system. We are amassing talent. We are amassing youth. We are amassing team-controlled contracts for guys that are nobodies right now. And you might have to take three or four of these minor league guys for one to end up being somebody who helps you down the road. That's how this works. And in a couple years, you know, 2020, 2021, 2022, maybe this will all bear fruit. And we'll have the same situation we had in 2008. A really, really good team of guys whose contracts don't actually measure up to what they bring to the table. And that's the whole game the Rays are trying to play. The Rays' whole thing is getting guys who are really good before even they realize they're really good, having them at their best at the peaks of their careers, then letting somebody else sign them to contracts rewarding them for what they did when they were on the Rays, which is what happened over and over. 2008, 2010, 2011, winning the AL East twice, the wild cards, game 162, all that stuff. That was all done with guys who were signed to team-friendly contracts, many of whom went on to other teams, for way more money and didn't do as well as they did when they were on the Rays. That's how you do it if you're the Rays. And no one wants to hear it. I know we don't want, you say, oh, well, why don't they just spend more money? Well, I wish they would, but that's not how it went. Maybe when they get the new stadium, they will. I don't know. But quite honestly, I don't have a problem with it. It obviously makes your windows spread out a little further. It takes time to run a cycle of this. They ran a cycle of it in the mid-2000s and worked it up to the late 2000s and early 2010s. Now the past few years, it's been back to Nothingsville for a while. And the past few years, personally, I thought sucked. And that was with the Rays kind of half trying. So why not just go all out to get it right for a couple years down the road? That's how I see things, and I'm patient. A lot of fans aren't. Especially in baseball. They play so many games. You know, it's not like football. Football, there's only 16 games. Crazy stuff happens every year. You think you got a chance. Especially because of how unpredictable, I should say, the NFL is. I mean, look at the Jaguars. You know, teams go 3-13, 4-12, 5-11, whatever they go. Then the next year, they're in the title game or their conference or whatever. That can happen. And that happens in baseball, too, sometimes. I'm not saying it never happens, but football just feels more high variance. Like, you could finish dead last, you could go to the, you know, 12-4, and you don't even know before the season. Baseball, you feel like you have more of a handle on predictability going into a season. I mean, there's been seasons where the Rays surprised me, but most seasons, how the Rays ended up at the end of the year was pretty close to what we thought. The years that we thought, hey, we might have a good team here, they were at least in contention. They didn't always make the playoffs. And the years we thought they'd be bad, they were bad. I mean, I remember 2008 feeling like, hey, you know, I didn't think they'd be, you know, 90-something, whatever it was, 97 wins. But I thought, hey, the Rays could really be good this year maybe for the first time. And they were. And then they rode that wave. I mean, they still, I think, if you go the last 10 years and take the last 10 regular seasons, have one of the top 6 or 7 records in baseball, even with the last few years not being very good. That was an unbelievable run they had. And some of the guys that were the crux of that, Joe Maddon, Andrew Friedman mainly, or who I think of that come to mind, aren't here anymore. Can these new guys do it? Can Eric Neander do it? Kevin Cash? I don't know. But I do know they weren't going to do it with this roster this year. And instead of just keeping those guys around just to say, oh, hey, look, we got Corey Dickerson and Steven Souza, who, guys, they're a great guy. I like those guys. They were a decent player. They're not that good. I mean, think about, like, at least Longoria, although he wasn't really that great anymore either, at least at Longoria I could understand everybody, oh my God, you know, the face of the franchise. But all the uproar about these other guys, I mean, listen, man, they weren't going to be here the next time the Rays made a playoff run. So let's get some guys who maybe will be here the next time we make a playoff run. And it's not going to be any fun in 2018, and it may not be much fun in 2019 either, but the Rays have run this formula before. They've run a cycle of this before, and they did it. They're trying to run another cycle of it now. And, you know, I love the passion. Dickie V was out there, and bless his heart, he cares so much. He loves the Rays, and I love that. And he's saying, if you don't want to run a team the way it's supposed to be run, then sell the team. And he's really upset. Like, he's really, truly hurt by what the Rays did the past few days. A lot of fans are. And that's fine. Like, that really, like, you should feel that way. I get it. But I'm just saying, take a deep breath, step back, detach yourself for a minute, and look at the big picture and think about what you really want. What do you want from the Rays? And maybe you do. Maybe you just want the Rays to be halfway okay, to where the first 3-4 months of the season, you're not convinced they're out of it yet, so you have a reason to watch, and maybe that's good enough for you. I want 2008. 90-something wins. I mean, just saying 2008's not even fair. They went to the World Series. Everybody wants that. I want 2008 through 2012. Perennial contender. Not going to win it every year, obviously. Nobody does, but every year there with a chance. Every year making you think, yeah, these guys could do it. And if you're not where that is, and that's not where they are right now, then get there. And don't worry about, like, everything else. All that. Move your guys. Get younger guys. Get team-friendly contracts. Bolster the farm system. Do all that. Because you're either there or you're not, and the Rays aren't there. So that's the only thing I would say about that. I mean, people have been, again, laughing, saying, how do people... I look on Twitter, all these people, oh, poor Rays fans. How do people follow that team? Then, of course, inevitably, somebody else chimes in, I don't think anybody ever has, ha ha ha. You know, don't feel sorry for me. I'm fine with it. Do what you got to do. Listen, I'm cheap. I don't like spending a ton of money. And I hate, I mean, this is me. I'm talking about me personally now, not the Rays. I personally, I don't mind spending money on things that need to have money spent on them, but I hate overpaying for something. If I pay for something and I realize I could have gotten it for a little bit less, that's one of those things that just rubs me the really wrong way. I get real upset about that. I'm frugal. I'm always going to look for the best deal. I'm always going to look for value. So I appreciate, even if they are richer than they say and they don't have to do this that way, you know, I appreciate rooting for a team in some sick way that kind of shares my values. I love having guys at a reasonable price go out and perform top of the line the way we did it for a while there. And I'm really turned off. Just like when I have a friend of mine who buys a car or whatever. And it's not that I'm jealous of my, you know, I'm just using this as a hypothetical. I have a buddy who comes in, oh yeah, I just bought this car for $60,000, dude. That like really turns me off. I'm like, you're an idiot. You spent $60,000 on a car? Are you stupid? Like, who spends that much on a car? It's the same way when I see all the Yankees signed, you know, Howie Felter snatch for a 10-year, $480 billion deal. Oh, whatever. That's not cool. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. That's dumb. You know, for all that the Yankees have been able to do, if you go back to 2008, raising the Yankees, I have to look at the playoff appearance totals and stuff like that, but the championships, Yankees won the series in 2009, Rays lost it in 2008. Yankees may have another playoff appearance or two, but you know, it ain't that much different, and the Rays overall record ain't that much different since then either. All that money, though. And again, the Yankees have it. I mean, it's just, I'd rather root for a team like the Rays. Let's put it that way. Because I hate just having money thrown at stuff for nothing. Yeah, I'm the type of guy, if I see something in the store, it's cost $15. Okay, I might buy this. Let me whip my phone out and check Amazon or check this other store. Check just to make sure it's not $12 somewhere else. Because if it is, I'll drive my ass over there and get it. I don't care. That's me. And again, it's not our money, so with the Rays, maybe you don't care about that as much, but ridiculous to throw the amounts of money they do at these guys. And everybody's complaining about baseball free agency. Oh my God, the free agent market's been stagnant this year. Good! Freaking ridiculous contracts we've seen. It's about time somebody had some common sense and said, hey, maybe these guys aren't worth all this money. And then jagoffs like Scott Boras like implore, oh, well, this is a stain on baseball. My guys aren't getting what they deserve. The owners are probably colluding. Screw you. You're the reason it got this way in the first place. You should be happy counting all the money you got from all the horrible contracts you convinced other teams to sign your guys to in the past. Anyway, rant over about baseball. Pitchers and catchers are in there. We'll watch for a couple months. Maybe something will happen. Hey, you know, maybe the Rays will go out, and at least for a little while, they'll be halfway okay. We don't know. But anyway, far as the Olympics go, just real quick, I wanted to say before I go, because this is the last Olympics show we're doing. By the next week, the Olympics will be gone and forgotten. Congrats to the United States women's hockey team for going out there and beating Canada for the gold medal, even though it was in a shootout, which is pretty much the same to me as just flipping a coin after the game is tied after regulation. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, I understand shootouts, even though I hate them for any situation, but in the regular season in the NHL, you know, it's pretty harmless, I guess, although if it was up to me, I would just play overtime for 10 minutes instead of 5, and then I just call it a tie. There's nothing wrong with ties in hockey. I hate ties in football or any sport where they're preventable, but sports like hockey and soccer, you know, it could be a while till somebody scores. I get it. You have a tie. But in a playoff scenario or an Olympic situation, a medal round, an elimination scenario, you go till someone lights the lamp, baby. And in soccer, same thing. Like the World Cup, you tied, play till someone scores. That's it. So, you know, they do this little dog and pony show, and it really is no different than deciding a basketball game by three-point shots. Let's have a three-point shooting contest. Somebody even argued that when I was complaining about the shootout. A friend of mine, he was like, what's your problem with it? I'm like, well, it's just random. It's not real hockey. It's just a gimmick. And he's like, oh, yeah, because a shootout doesn't require any skill whatsoever, right? You know, and I'm like, you idiot. I know it requires skill. That doesn't mean it's right. Having a three-point shooting contest requires skill, too. But that's no way to decide a basketball game. We could have a punt, pass, and kick in football if we wanted to. But we don't do that because it's dumb. And it's the same thing with a shootout. Call it a tie if it's pool play or the regular season in NHL. And if it's an elimination game, we're going. So, you know, congrats to the U.S. I'm glad they won it. I'd rather they win it than not. And the men lost their shootout against Slovakia and they got eliminated. But whatever. The point is, it's dumb. Where they didn't have a shootout, what was really cool to see, I'm not into curling. I know probably you guys aren't that much into curling either on a routine basis, but it's fun to watch in the Olympics every 4 years. And we've always sent John Schuster out there, our skipper. He wins the Nationals every year for all the complaints about him. America has nobody better. And he's always done pretty poorly in the Olympics, the past three Olympics, just total flameouts. Then these Olympics, he starts out 2-4 in pool play. They play 9 games, 10 teams, they play a round robin. He won the last three, he and his team, they go 5-4, gets into the elimination round, beats Canada in the semis, they're going to curl for the gold medal. Dramatic finish, and Schuster hit the final shot just perfectly to clinch the win. Congrats to them. Next week, I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to talk more about being a sports dad, but Norway and their success, because Norway has this whole thing where they don't even allow kids to keep score until age 13. And kids might do it on their own, but all their youth sports, none of it's geared around the score at all until they're almost in high school. And I was reading an article about it. It's pretty interesting stuff. And since I had my own ugly sports dad moment last week, I'll tie all that in. But for now, that's it for the free stretch. Thanks to all of you for joining us. Thanks to the Joes for having me, as always, on this website. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the free stretch. Enjoy the remainder of your February. I'll see you at some spring training games. We'll talk again next week. And in the meantime, wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.